Hello there. Considering whether I should go dormant for the winter in response to shortening day length and freezing temperatures, it's me, Michelle Cortins. On today's episode of the Orchard Outlook podcast, we're chillin'. No, we're not taking a break. It's that time of year when the snow is snowing, the wind is blowing, and I'll stop singing now. Ultimately, temperatures are dropping, and it might not be the most wonderful time of the year if you're a recently pruned tree. But how cold, how quickly, and when are all the questions that are up in the air? And then it hit me like a snowball. Would a certain guest join us to explain? They're a horticulturalist extraordinaire, and you're probably familiar with their online articles about tree fruit. On all of your favorite topics in physiology like rootstocks, disorders, pruning, and of course, cold tolerance. He did all of the homework for us, and we caught him in the nick of time just months before his retirement. So now, to hear from his own words of wisdom, let's welcome our guest, Dr. Richard Marini. Hello, Rich.
Good afternoon.
Thanks so much for joining me.
It's good to be here.
So you've co-authored a great article about the effects of pruning on fruit tree cold hardiness. I had a read through that article. It was great. So is tree fruit physiology your area of expertise and interest then?
Yes. Mostly I work on apples and peaches, but the last 5 or 6 years I've expanded and I also work with strawberries, raspberries, and blueberries. So I guess I'm a fruit crop physiologist. Yeah.
So if we could mainly focus on apple trees today, then that would be great. Or any peach comments you want to add as well, because I know that was throughout the article. So if we could start with the question, do trees develop cold tolerance through a series of stages? And could you kind of walk us through that?
Yes. So this would go from almost any woody plant, but a lot of the research was done on apple. And they go through a series of stages. So in the summer, they're pretty susceptible to temperatures right around the freezing mark. You know, 32 degrees Fahrenheit, 0 degrees C would probably injure a growing apple tree in August. And then depending on where you are in the country, shoots stop growing sometime in early August, and they set a terminal bud at the tip of the shoot. And then a little later in the fall, in the summer, they start responding to short days. So the leaves are required for this. So the leaves sense shortening days and they produce, I'm not sure we know what it is, but there's some substance that the leaves produce that gets transferred throughout the plant that starts the acclimation process. And at that point, they gain a few degrees in hardiness, and that pretty much stays stable until they're exposed to a frost. And then it's almost immediate. When they get exposed to the first frost, there's about a 5 degree increase in cold hardiness, like overnight, just about. It's very quick. But they don't gain a great deal of cold hardiness until they're exposed to several frosts and a little bit lower temperatures. So during the fall, from like about the 1st of September to maybe the end of November, they go through this series of stages that changes their cold hardiness basically from the freezing point down to possibly minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit or, you know, close to minus 30 degrees C. And that depends on the variety. Some varieties, like Golden Delicious, can be killed at, it may not survive minus 20. Some other varieties that are more cold tolerant can withstand minus 40, minus 45 degrees C. So it depends a little bit on the variety. But that's generally how they develop cold hardiness. And in this whole process, we refer to as acclimation. So acclimation is the transition from a non-cold hardy plant to one that is cold hardy.
Okay, so it's the shortening days that the leaves sense, and also some, when those freezing temperatures start to happen, it's when these changes start to happen. Okay, so then what happens? Do trees like lose their cold tolerance in response to warm winter temperatures? Is that possible?
Sure is. They call that deacclimation. So the plants need to be exposed to a certain amount of chilling temperatures before they will respond to warm temperatures. So in early November, if you could take a tree and put it in the greenhouse under good growing conditions, you know, it's warm and long days, they won't grow. And the reason is they haven't had a chilling requirement yet. So chilling, a lot of people think, you know, it needs to get really cold for chilling, but it doesn't. About 47 degrees Fahrenheit or 7 or 8 degrees C is the optimum temperature for chilling. And if it gets much colder than that, they actually get less chilling. So once you get down to the freezing point, 0 degrees C, they don't accumulate any chilling at that temperature. So they really get a lot of the chilling early in the winter and late in the winter. But at some point, they've had enough chilling. Most apple varieties, it's about 800 hours of chilling temperature. And then when they're exposed to warm temperatures, the tree will start to develop. And by warm temperatures, we're probably talking somewhere in around the 10 degrees C range, something like that, or higher. Then they start to deacclimate and they lose some of their cold hardiness. But they also have the ability to reacclimate. So if they're exposed to warm temperatures for a while, and then it gets cold again, right after it's been warm, they lose some of their cold hardiness. But then when it gets cold again, they regain some of it, but they never get 100% of that hardiness back, but they will reacclimate some. So the hardiness of the plant changes during the winter, depending on what the temperatures are. So they fluctuate.
Okay. And I remember reading that rapid drops in temperature could be more damaging than gradual decreases in temperature. Can you kind of explain why that is?
Well, I'm not sure why it is, but it's been observed both in laboratory freezing experiments and in the field. When I've got friends further south, like in Arkansas, they can get these rapid temperature swings where it might be quite warm one day and the next day it drops to below freezing. And like maybe 10, 12 degrees C one day, and then the very next day a cold front comes through and they might drop to minus 10 degrees C, something like that. And it can injure the plant. So that's what I call a rapid change. But if it gets cold gradually over a 4 or 5 day period, the plant can withstand that a lot better. So I'm not sure why, but we just know that a rapid changes tends to cause more injury than a gradual change.
Okay. So is it a rapid change, like a 20 degrees Celsius difference to like a negative temperature?
Well, yeah, but it probably has to be relatively cold to it, like minus 1 or 2 probably won't do it. But if you get down to maybe minus 20, you know, it could do it. So sometimes we get these, at least here in the States, we get these big air masses out of Canada, out of Saskatchewan. I don't know what you get there, but it comes from the Northwest. And one day it can be, you know, possibly around 0. And then the next day it goes down to minus 25. You know, see, and that's a pretty big change, and that kind of change can cause injury.
So. Okay, so it's those rapid changes to really cold temperatures that we want to watch out for. Okay.
Yeah.
So, what about immediately after pruning trees? Do the trees have an increased sensitivity to rapid temperature drops?
Yeah, I'm not even sure if it has to be rapid, but they have an increased sensitivity to low temperatures. And this has been observed in the field. I remember when I was in graduate school, I was on an orchard tour in Ohio. And we looked, these were old trees, probably 30-year-old apple trees. And there were several rows where every tree was dead. And then the rows right next to them were fine. And the grower told us that they had some warm weather in December, and it was probably about 12 degrees C. And they went out and did such nice weather, so they went out and pruned. And they only got a couple of rows done, and then it got cold. And I don't remember how cold, but just a few days later, it got cold, and it killed all those trees. And the trees that were alive got pruned later in the winter. So that made a huge impression on a young graduate student. And I've observed the same thing myself in the field since then, mostly with peach trees, because peach trees are more sensitive to cold than apples.
So for how long does that sensitivity last in early pruned trees? Is it a short-term thing or is it kind of for the entire winter?
Oh, that's a great question. And I don't know the answer to that exactly, but I do know that there was some work done in Georgia on peaches, and they pruned trees in, I think it was early November. And then in March, they noticed that the trees had increased activity. And I was surprised that there would be that much of a delay. And so at that point, those trees were more susceptible to cold in the late winter than the ones that had not been pruned. So I think it's a pretty rapid decrease or increase in sensitivity, like within a day or two. But I don't know how long it lasts. That's something, and I have a lot of questions still. I don't know exactly how long it takes to make the plants more sensitive. I don't know how long that sensitivity remains. And I don't know how much less more sensitive they are. I thought about trying to do an experiment on that, but I realized it was going to take a lot of trees to do it right, and I just couldn't afford to do it. So I can't answer a lot of those questions. I just know that it can have a fairly immediate effect within just a couple of days, and it will last a while. So what I usually tell my growers is, if they're predicting a cold snap coming up, stop pruning, wait for the cold weather to pass.
Okay.
I try to prune as late in the winter as I can. And you know, if you only have one or two trees in your backyard, you can wait until bloom. But if you've got several hundred acres, you have to start earlier than that to get done. So,
yeah, absolutely. So let's go through a few questions here in a little more detail to see if you have a little bit of wisdom on these questions. So the question of what's worse, a lot of little cuts or a few big cuts in terms of affecting that cold tolerance?
Well, that's another question I really can't answer.
Okay.
I did some research on peaches with, we call it summer hedging, where they use a sickle bar mower to cut the tops of the trees off. And that makes a whole bunch of little cuts. And it delayed the acclimation process in those trees. So I know a whole bunch of little cuts is probably not good. My guess is big cuts are probably not good either. So for some reason, pruning seems to stimulate the metabolism of the tree. And so my guess is that the more cuts you make, the more severe the problem will be. But I don't know. I've never tried to compare big cuts to small cuts, so I don't know. I did do some summer pruning on peaches, and I actually made big pruning cuts on those. And they acclimated better than the trees where I made a lot of little cuts. So maybe a lot of little cuts is worse.
Okay. Well, remains to be determined.
Yeah.
Okay. So how about young versus old trees?
Usually when we plant trees for the first few years, we give them a lot of nitrogen. We're trying to get the trees to grow rapidly and fill their space. So they're really growing vigorously, and they tend to acclimate a little later than more mature trees. So usually, especially early in the winter, the young trees are going to be more sensitive to cold. And we've seen that in the field too, that young trees tend to get injured more than older trees. So what I like to do is start pruning. When I start pruning in the winter, I prune the older trees first, and I save the younger trees for late winter or early spring.
And so how about dwarfing rootstocks compared to more vigorous ones?
Well, you know, one of the reasons that we were slow to adopt dwarfing rootstocks is because there was a general feeling that dwarf rootstocks were less hardy than vigorous ones. I don't think that's really the case. We now have a lot of experience with dwarf rootstocks over the last 30 years. They're planted all over the place. And there is some difference in the hardiness of rootstocks, but in general, I think they're hardy enough. Especially there's one from there's a dwarf rootstock from Russia called Budogoski 9. It's a very dwarfing rootstock, and it was selected for cold hardiness. So it's probably as cold hardy as anything. So I don't think you can make general statements about dwarf versus vigorous. So we have a lot of multi-state rootstock trials around North America, and I've been the coordinator for some of those, so I get everybody's data. And we have test sites in Ontario, in Simcoe, in British Columbia, and Nova Scotia, as well as, you know, upstate New York and Michigan and Maine. So we have a lot of cold sites, and it's pretty rare to see any of these rootstocks be killed by winter. So I think they all have adequate cold hardiness for at least for Nova Scotia, because I don't think you don't get as cold as some parts of Canada, I don't think, do you?
Yeah, that's right. It's warmer here.
Yeah, so I don't think you have to worry about cold hardiness.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of pruning, are there any differences pruning the dwarfing ones versus the vigorous ones and affecting their cold tolerance?
Well, I don't know that question. I don't know that one.
Deep into the details there.
You tend to prune dwarf trees less. They don't need as much pruning. But I haven't heard of anybody making those kinds of observations.
There's just so many variables, right?
It's hard to do those kinds of experiments too.
Yeah, absolutely. So how would we go about determining the risk of early dormant pruning for a given region?
Even further south, it can be a problem. In Georgia and South Carolina, they have a problem that they refer to as peach tree short life. And it seems to be affected by a bunch of things, but one of the things is pruning time. So they found that when they pruned trees in November and early December, the trees didn't live as long as if they waited until March or at least late February to prune. So even in the South, it can have an impact. I'm not sure it really makes a big difference where you're located, you know?
There's always just gonna be more risk to that early dormant pruning then?
I think so, yeah. And a lot of it, you know, you might get away with it for 25 years. And then one winter, you get that early cold period in early December that hurts the tree. So it's going to be the unusual winters when it happens, I think. So, because I know we have a lot of growers who are already pruning. And I think it's too early, but they'll probably get away with it, you know, but one year they won't.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's a really good point, yeah. Some of the arguments that are made for that early dormant pruning is that at the end of harvest, there's some extra labor that's still on the farm. So it can be tempting to get a head start on those pruning activities. So let's say a grower accepts that added risk of early dormant pruning. Why is it best to wait until the trees have been exposed to at least some freezing temperatures and like the leaves begin to turn yellow before they begin that early dormant pruning?
Well, I did some experiments on summer pruning. So I was pruning in August, not after harvest, on peaches. And it did delay the acclimation process. So it delayed leaf drop in the fall because I was counting leaves every week. And I also brought shoots into the lab and froze them at different temperatures so I could see what temperature they were killed at. And in December, those trees that I had pruned in August were more sensitive to cold than the trees I had not pruned. So I never compared it to pruning in October, but I do know that, but there's enough anecdotal evidence in orchards, especially from the 1920s and 30s. There were some cold winters back then that where they got injury when they pruned. And it's mostly based on just some anecdotal evidence. And I remember reading some older papers where, I think it was at Ohio State University, where they were teaching, you know, a fruit course. And one of the problems we have when we're teaching is that we teach tree fruit in the fall. And so like next week, I'm going to take my class out and we're going to prune blueberries and grapes. And I'd rather not, because if we get cold, it's going to could cause some injury. But that's when we teach the course. So that's when I have to do it. And we did have some peach trees and we killed those peach trees. It took about 6 years. But they gradually went downhill when we pruned them so we would have been doing it in late November or early December. We ended up killing them. And the trees that we weren't using for teaching did fine. So it was because we were pruning at that time of year. So you may not kill them in 1 year, but if you keep doing it year after year, you're probably gonna shorten the life of that tree if you prune too early. You know, it all depends, you know, on how warm it was before the cold came, you know, how well were they acclimated before you pruned, and then how cold did it get afterwards. And even that isn't, there's more to it than that even, because it depends on how cold it got, how fast it got cold, how long it stayed cold, and all of that too. But You just have to realize you are making the trees more sensitive to cold by pruning that early.
Right. Yeah, it's really complicated.
Yeah, you know, it's a lot easier to see what you're doing when the leaves are off the trees too.
Yeah, yeah, true.
So I prefer to wait at least until the leaves are gone, you know, yeah. Most of them at least.
Yeah. So you've mentioned that you've seen some winter injury in the field. What does it tend to look like on a field scale then?
Okay, it depends on how severe it is. Okay, so usually flower buds are the most sensitive to cold. So a lot of times all we see is that some or sometimes all the flower buds will be killed. And so they just don't bloom in the spring. You'll lose that year's crop. But the trees grow fine afterwards. And if it gets a little colder than that, usually it's the young shoots, the shoots that just grew during this past summer are the most sensitive to cold. And sometimes part of that shoot will die back. So in the spring, the end of the shoot, maybe, I don't know, do you folks use centimeters or inches?
Centimeters. Well, inches as well. We use a combination. Just
well, let's say sometimes it'll die back 15 to 30 centimeters.
Yeah.
And that's all you'll see, just that amount of injury. And that doesn't kill the tree. It grows pretty well afterwards. Then if it gets even colder than that, you might see a whole branch die or something like that. Or sometimes it'll just kill the bark. And usually that happens in the crotches of the branches, where in the crotch between where the branch joins the trunk. Sometimes it just kills the bark, usually on the upper side of the branch. But over time, that usually heals up. But sometimes it makes it more susceptible to diseases and insects. So you get a secondary problem. And then if it gets cold enough, I've seen trees killed. The entire tree gets killed. So you get that whole range of injury depending on the variety and how cold it got and when it got cold. And in general, trees that had a heavy crop the previous summer are more sensitive to cold than trees with a light crop or no crop. So that can make a big difference too.
Yeah, and you'd be able to see like a pattern throughout the field, like maybe low spots would be more susceptible. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, usually where it's the coldest is where you're going to see the most injury.
Right.
The other thing you can do is, I'm not sure it's worth doing it, but if you cut a branch off or you cut the trunk, you know, and you look at a cross section, so on the outside, you got bark. And then as you go towards the center of the trunk, there's a green ring of tissue, and that's called the cambium. And that's where cell division occurs. And then inside that is xylem tissue, which is there's a mixture of live cells and dead cells in there. But sometimes when I've seen mild cold injury, the center of the trunk or the center of a cross section of a limb is all brown, you know, sometimes dark brown. But as long as the cambium is green, that branch or that tree will live. So that tells you whether it'll live or not. You know, if you've got green tissue in that cambium, it'll live. The lifespan of the tree may be reduced a little, but it will live, even though it looks like it's been really injured because the whole center is dark brown.
Okay, that's good to know. A little trick to keep an eye out for it. So do you have any more experiences with cold tolerance that really stick out in your memory?
Yeah, a couple, I guess. One of them happened at bloom time with peaches. And I assumed that apples would respond the same way. It was late winter and I had a couple hundred peach trees to prune, and the buds were swollen and I could actually see pink in the buds already. So they were pretty close to being in bloom. And I pruned a couple of rows and then I ran out of time. And I came back a few days later and pruned the rest. But in the meantime, we got a frost. And it wasn't a cold enough frost that it should have killed flower buds. At least I didn't think it should have. But the trees that I had pruned before the frost had a very light crop, like maybe 25% of a normal crop. And the trees that I had not pruned until after the frost, this reduction in cold hardiness can even happen in the late spring, just before bloom. So I tell growers, even if it's bloom time and you're pruning, if they're predicting a frost, quit, you know, wait till the cold weather passes. So that was something that surprised me. I didn't expect that.
Okay, interesting.
And the same thing happens if you have a heavy crop. One year I was doing a thinning experiment. So I had trees with various amounts of fruit on them. And the next spring we got a frost at bloom time, and the trees that had the heavy crop had the most frost injury. So a lot of these things, you know, there's a delay, you know, in it. So that surprised me too. I thought they might be more sensitive during the winter, but I didn't really expect them to be more sensitive to a frost at bloom time, but they were. Just some things to think about that, you know, if you have a heavy crop, just realize that the trees will be less tolerant of cold. The other thing is roots, you know, go back to the rootstock thing. There are some rootstocks that acclimate early in the winter, and then they, and as long as it stays cold, they're very cold hardy, but they have a tendency to de-acclimate in response to warm temperatures in the winter. And there's a peach rootstock called Siberian Sea that does that. Peach trees on Siberian Sea survive quite well in Ontario, but they get winter killed in Georgia. So figure that one out. Yeah, but it's because they de-acclimate. So yeah, they withstand minus 20 in Ontario, but they're killed at, you know, maybe just minus 3 or 4 in Georgia. And I saw some in New Jersey, when I used to work in New Jersey, I had a rootstock experiment and all the Siberian seas were killed in New Jersey. And there's some apple rootstocks that'll do that too, like Robusta number 5 was a rootstock that used to be grown quite a bit in Ontario and Vermont. I don't think it is much anymore. It's a vigorous tree, but it acted like that too. It acclimated early, and as long as it was cold, it was very cold hardy, but if it got a little bit warm, it lost its cold hardiness pretty quick. So when you talk, hardiness is a weird thing to talk about because it just means it's the resistance to a low temperature, but a variety or a rootstock that's cold hardy in November may not be cold hardy in March, you know?
Wow, well, this has been really interesting. Thank you so much for joining us to talk about this topic. I think that we still have a lot of questions in cold tolerance, and there seems to be a lot of gaps that research can continue to try to fill.
That's true, there is. And the problem is you can't do that kind of research everywhere. You need to have equipment to freeze things, and only a few schools have that. But there's still a little bit of work going on, and I know there's a researcher in Maine who's working on apple, especially rootstocks, apple cold hardiness. So maybe she'll learn some more.
Well, thanks again for joining us.
Okay, you're welcome. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Follow me on Twitter at NSTreeFruit and follow Perennia on Facebook and Twitter at NSPerennia. Thanks to Perennia for chilling out in the podcast space. Thank you to Patty Ryan and Moira Anderson for being well adapted to our communications needs. Thank you to growers for asking the coolest questions. Here's a fun fact. I love being festive for the holiday season. I've got my live Christmas tree set up and the classic holiday music on repeat. Now you know why I was singing in the intro. So this snowy and cold episode is my gift to you. Get those apple pies in the oven and have a happy holiday, folks. See you in 2022.